time. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time. Your host for this evening, live from Studio 76 in Valrico, Florida, Derek Old School Fournier.
So I give zero f-
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Big shout-outs to my man Making Merkins on the new bumper music. I appreciate that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. He's still going back and making some edits because he's a perfectionist, and I certainly appreciate that because I've read about perfectionists. I know that they exist. I know that I am not one, but I am glad that he is one. The ironic thing about that, and it's only ironic in so much as Alanis Morissette defined the word irony, since apparently the dictionary didn't do a good enough job of that, is that turned down for what was the anthem for the football camps for American Football Development that Gurr and I are involved in over in the UK. It just sort of happened. It was organic. And it's funny because the people that were participatory in that still use that hashtag. And as a bit of a summer anthem, turned down for what, despite its lack of lyrical prose and genius, is infectious. And he had no idea that that was the case, and yet that was the bumper. So we do have some new bumper music. As I understand it, he's going to be putting together some additional clips in there, and we'll probably get an outro as well. But I'm excited by it, and I'm glad I'm not just coming in on a complete emptiness. So welcome to What the Buck. As mentioned by our intro, I am Derek Old School Fournier, coming to you live from Studio 76 tonight. Not necessarily always going to be the case. We've got some pretty exciting things going on tonight. Tonight's show, as you would probably expect, because there hasn't been a lot of new information coming out about the Bucks. I mean, we signed Geddes and some other random, and there's little roster moves here and there that no one really gives a shit about. We can talk about some of those things. We'll talk about the new article coming out from Patches. Patches has been kicking ass. Carrie, our intern, loves the work he's doing from a writing perspective, which is great. I love the content. Hopefully you guys do too. That article was ready to be posted tonight, but we had a site problem. If you were on the site earlier, it did go down. Our web guy is working on that. We think we know what the problem is. We're going to migrate that site probably tomorrow and get that taken care of. If I can post Patch's article tonight, I will make sure that you guys know and you guys can get out to read it and then comment it up and let people know about what's going on whatthebuck.net. So a couple little housekeeping things. I'll let you know what we're going to be doing this evening, because this evening is going to be sort of a different show. The ecosystem is interesting to me. We've been doing this now for about 9 years. And as I've been doing this, there have been people come and go from a podcast perspective. We're still here. And that may not be the case in 9 more years. Who knows? Who knows where life's going to take us? But one of the things that I've gotten excited about lately is there's a couple of new podcasts popped up that people are really paying attention to the details on. They're doing a good job with the professionalism side, in so much as I'm at all professional. So, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt. And I've mentioned a couple of them in passing. Some of them are in our chat room. I see Bucks Brief is already over in the chat room, or he was earlier. And we're going to have those guys call in throughout the evening. We've got JJ Dakota, who's going to call in from the GJ Pod Bash podcast. We're going to talk about what his inspiration was and what he does and why he does it, and get a feel for that, so you guys know that that's out there. You can take a listen. One thing about podcasts that's probably true about other broadcasts as well is a particular podcast isn't the ticket for everyone. I know that we're not the ticket for everyone. As much as I love what I do, and I think some of you guys really enjoy it, it's not what everyone's looking for, and that's fine. So if you go out there and sort of look at what's available, it's a great world, because you're not limited to a fixed number of broadcasters any longer. Anyone with a voice and the desire to do this can get out there and do it, which is really, really cool. And we'll also have Fish from Bucks Brief on as well later this evening, so you can learn about a little bit more about him and get a feel for what he does if you haven't listened to his podcast. So those two will be on later this evening. Now, before that, we will have our friend, the Ginger Badass, Mark Cook, calling in, and we're going to talk about a couple of announcements that we've been hinting towards. I don't want to tease them too much, but we will be making some announcements and talking about Mark Cook's bubble list that he released on PeterReport.com. I believe he released that yesterday, and we're going to talk about those particular players, because the bubble players are the ones that always become interesting. You've got the typical conversations that happen about the players that impress in training camp and then maybe don't come through. You've always got the Mr. November talks. Is that shirt slim fitting? You know, I'm really intrigued. Kurt McDonald from Australia or New Zealand or somewhere that really they spend a lot of time with sheep is very fascinated with my clothing habits. Is this slim fitting? I don't know. When I was with your mom last time, she liked the way I wore this shirt, Kurt. So I don't know that there was any issue with it. It is, however, slimmer than the jersey that I was wearing, if that's your question. So, regardless, this is the kind of shenanigans you have to deal with when you do a podcast and you have New Zealanders or whatever he is in the crowd. And to Captain L. Bark, it's good to see you back, Captain. You made a comment about the jerseys, and I can't get the white one unless I buy the $300 version one because they only go up to 2X, and my big ass is bigger than that. I like both of them now. I came out of the closet when it came to that. I'm sure someone will grab that audio clip instantly. But I have jumped on board with the new helmet and the new uniform, and having seen them in person, I like them a lot. I'm very pleased with the red jersey that I've got back there that I didn't put on. Don't know if they go to 5XL. We'll have to check. I think they go to 4XL, brother. So regardless, she's jealous because you have bigger breasts. If it didn't take you 10 minutes to come up with a retort, Kurt, then that might have been funny. That's one of the essences of comedy, though, is timing. And since you don't have that, you're just not funny. But back on with the broadcast. A couple of little notes here. I mentioned that Patches has been working his ass off. We'll get his article posted as promptly as we can. Carrie already did her work. So what I'll probably do is work with the web guy when I'm done with this to get the audio posted for the podcast and get his article posted there at about the same time. Other news, the sponsorship stuff will be rolled out this week. We have an internal crew meeting this weekend that we're going to be going and working on, and that should the result of that should be more information about the tailgates. I know a lot of you guys come down to tailgate with us, whether you're here local or come in from afar for the games. The tailgates are sort of one of the things that have become our hallmark and our get-togethers as well, but the tailgates are those things you can count on, you know, on and on. The tailgate structure will be a little bit different this year because Chef Red has retired, and so I'm working on a deal with some great barbecue people over in Lakeland to have some folks that go to some of these competitions here locally cook, and we'll have a different cook each time. When we get those details, we'll release those. The tailgates are going to be big and bad as always, and when we get those pieces of information, we'll get those out to you. I know that Spent has already put up, I believe, a tentative placeholder for our first get-together. And one of the things we'll talk about as well when Mark calls in is the Pewter Report pre-training camp get-together that's coming up at Keelan Curley. We'll give you all those details, and Mark will talk a little bit about some of the surprises they have in store for anyone who's RSVP'd for that event. But for us, with training camp, I kind of talked about how you should plan your vacations around that because I think training camp is the best thing you can do in preseason. Preseason football, I watch it because I'm a sick person. But training camp football to me is just absolutely hard to beat. So what we're going to be doing is pretty much every time we get together over there, it'll be an excuse for us to get together someplace local, whether you get together at the facilities, try and sit, you know, around each other, whatever you want to do, or even go grab a beverage after that. So, no, Kurt, I did not block your messaging. Anyway... What was I going to say here? Sorry, Kurt distracted me with his, did I block his messaging, which I did not. Where the hell was I? Oh, training camp. So training camp, I believe the 25th, Spent put an event out there. I think she just dropped it over in the chat room as well. So if you guys want to try and let us know what's going on, if you've got What the Buck gear, go ahead and grab that and bring it with you. We do not have any shirts left. We're going to have to get some more shirts and get the shopping cart working again. I will do my best to get that going as soon as possible. I have no promises, though, because it's just a pain in the ass. Caliente 420 says, or 430 says you're going to need a beverage. Given the temperature, which the name clearly is a tip of the cap towards, that is absolutely true. Kurt says if I block Kurt's messaging, I won't be distracted by him. That's absolutely true. But regardless, we will have beverages, and they always keep you hydrated well at training camp. So, as we continue to create these things, staying in touch has become one of the things that I've heard from a lot of people is a bit of a problem, which is interesting because we were sort of one of the first ones out in the social media space. We certainly have an active Twitter feed at What the Buck, which you're welcome to follow. We'd love to have you follow. We'd love to interact with you. We haven't been as interactive with folks lately, but that's okay. We can be. If you ask questions or interact with us, we will certainly interact back. We rarely ignore people. The Facebook page is a great place as well, facebook.com/whatthebuck. That's someplace where we post a lot of information, and most of our articles get posted there, as well as the links to our podcast if you don't just already subscribe to our podcast through some sort of a podcast subscription feed or through iTunes, which a lot of people I know do. Now, in talking to some of these other podcast guys out there, they're doing things that I haven't done. I haven't submitted us to TuneIn and some of these other services, which we're going to get out there and do to increase our exposure. So, you know, that's how our sort of ecosystem learns from each other, which is really, really cool. So I see a lot of requests out there for the shirts, which is cool. I will get those ordered. I will get the shopping cart up and running again. As soon as I get it up and running, I'll let you guys know. And you know, you guys can certainly grab shirts. We love it. We love seeing the What the Buck logo out there. It's really cool. But we did run out last year. Other than we have some girl shirts left. So if you're a girl, which sadly, I don't think there's a lot of in here. Oh, we got Christine and Spent and Jackie. So we're ahead of our curve, which is good. But yeah, so we'll get those things out there, get the podcast out there. But one other thing, and the reason I started this whole diatribe at all is we do have a mailing list. Now I put that out right before the broadcast. I put the link to that out on Twitter. I also put the link to that out on Facebook. If you have not joined our mailing list, what happens is once a month, all of our stories get aggregated. And as we build that list, I don't know where Bucks Princess is. I don't know if she's in the chat room. I'm not sure if she's listening at all. You should hit her up on Twitter and see what's going on, because I don't follow Twitter during the show. I usually just follow our chat room. But she said she would be tuned in and at home. But if you do see that link for the mailing list and you have not joined, go ahead and join. And we will submit the summaries, go out once a month. And then as we build that list up, we'll start using that more as a major communications tunnel. So not for a whole bunch of noise and chats and one-offs, but for major communication, that's what we will do. So What the Buck Commish is in the house. I do want to tell you guys a little funny side story. 3 minutes before the show, I get a phone call on the What the Buck line. The mailing list, Gore, if you go to our What the Buck Facebook page, we had a link about that as well. And our Twitter feed had one as well. The links are both there. So if you follow us at all in either of those, you should see those. And it's easy to do. You just give us your email address and your first and last name, and you are subscribed. And yes, I did appreciate your use of one. So anyway, What the Buck Commish calls in 3 minutes before the show, and he's like, "Hey, what's up? It's Commish." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going live in like 3 minutes." He goes, "Who's this?" So if Commish speaks to you in the chat room, there's a distinct possibility he is drunk. But he does bring up a really good question. And this is something that was sort of a double top secret thing. We did have a challenge / I don't know what the hell it was, issued by some of the girls who worked at the tailgate last year, some of our lovely ladies from the Wing House. I will not give their names, but you know them both. And the comment was made that if we had What the Buck thongs, they would take pictures in them. We, so far, do not have those pictures. Now, I will harass those young ladies again this weekend because I will be able to do that. They do have the thongs. They were produced. Those things I can confirm. Sadly, we do not have pictures of that. Now, I know there are some of you out there going, "Hey, listen, you're supposed to talk about the Bucks. You're supposed to talk about football. Why do you have to always go off on these side tangents? Why do you have to talk about girls and thongs? Why do you have to curse?" Hey, listen, we do shit like that. Like I said, we're not for everyone, right? We don't do it all the time, but we do that. Oh, my God, Drew Hamilton's in the house. Holy shit. It's good to see you, Drew. You see old school and What the Buck thong. I bet you would, Leadership South. I've heard that about you. Weren't you with a majorette or whatever the hell they marched at the beginning of the band? I think that's what you were, right? Listen, I don't want to see me in a thong, Zeller. I don't know why the hell anyone else would. Jesus Christ. There is a picture of you in one somewhere out there. That is so disturbing. But at any rate, that's sort of the backdrop. So if you haven't found that link, please go out there and do that. And my last little plea to you as we get things going for this evening, is Facebook is kind of interesting, and Facebook is an amazingly powerful tool. But the way Facebook has changed the way page interactions work, you have to actually interact with our posts. I know that we have What the Buck Chatters, which is a great place to have conversations because I am apparently a thread killer. the goal for our page, though, is to allow a platform. So if you see something that we post you like, if you don't mind reposting that on your wall, that would be great. That shows sort of an organic growth. If your friends wouldn't give a shit about it, then don't do that. I don't expect you to do that. I'm not asking you to do that if that's not appropriate for what you want to do. But if you're on Twitter and you're on Facebook and you like the stuff that we put out there, we would certainly love for you to interact with it and to post it out to your friends so that the whole social side of social media can be met and that our posts will get more pull through. So NSA is a powerful tool. God, Calico Jack, I just love your posts. It's so random sometimes. I know, Leadership South, you're not calling because you're mean and scary. Plus, we've got guests that actually have opinions that matter, so I don't really want you calling in anyway. So, one thing I do want to bring up, the Bubble article. If you haven't read it, I do recommend you go out there and take a look at that on PewterReport.com. The folks that are in there should not surprise anyone. One of the debates that has been very hot and heavy in the offseason has been the situation at defensive end. You know that we have an unabashed bias towards Adrian Claiborne. Now, that bias goes all the way back to Arizona when I met him the first time. I happened to be fortunate enough to know Adrian at not a deep personal level, but a personal enough level. I respect what the guy does on the field, and I respect him as a human being. And so, you know, while I still think that I can be impartial in my evaluation, the discussion was brought up, and I believe it was put forth most heavily by Booger McFarland on 98.7 show, that it would be him or it would be DaQuan Bowers. And fifth year contract was not issued for Adrian based on whatever reasons the Bucks felt that they didn't want to issue it. DaQuan Bowers has really not lived up to the hype. There's concern about Adrian moving from right side to left side. But I had a chance to see Adrian last weekend, and my God, is this guy in some good shape. Now, that is not a fruity guy post. That is a fuck, this guy's been working out a lot thing. So I am looking forward to see what he can do on the bags and to see what he's going to be able to do with the new defense. Now, I'm just nobody asked a question what Bowers is costing him, and I think that's going to be covered in Mark's segment when he calls in a few minutes here, and I believe that the cap is $1.3 million this year. So how the hell do you turn up your first training camp with no one involved after drafting, still involved with the team, and turn up out of freaking shape? So this is one of the questions I think will be coming out pretty strong. It is fans, and I am one of them, right? And it's funny, when I was asking Jace to come in later tonight, he's like, well, why would you have me on? I'm just another fan. Well, that's all I am, right? I mean, I'm just a fan who has an opinion, and that's what he is, and that's what Fish is as well. But fans will assess professional athletes at a very strict level because most of us wish we could do what they do. We're not good enough to, right? So they have an opportunity to live a dream life that most of us would absolutely kill to do. Now, sometimes that pisses me off because the expectations are unrealistic, and I know they are. That said, when you know the date of training camp and you have a target, and we know that this regime has targets for you from a physical health perspective, whether it's body fat percentage or overall weight, I'm sure there are all sorts of different qualifiers based on the position that you play. When it isn't a mystery, and you guys, if you've listened to me for any period of time, you know that this is one of my fucking just hot buttons, right? If it's not a mystery, the expectations are clear, and you don't meet them, you're an asshole. You may not be a personal asshole. You may be a great person. You may, like I've said before, pet kittens or whatever the fuck you do. But if you're told to come in a particular shape and you don't, it's on you. Unless there was injuries or extenuating circumstances. That's like, if you know that a drug test is Tuesday, do I have to finish this fucking story? Really? If you know that you're going out with your friends and you may drink, do I have to finish this story? This is common sense. This is grown folk shit. This is what we expect people to do. It is absolutely ridiculous. Now, that's not to pile on DaQuan, because DaQuan showed signs here and there. And when he showed signs in college and we fell to the second round, we were all excited that we got him. Their job is to do these things. And you know, as fans, I think that the backlash is very stout because of those things. But in the players' contracts, would they get fined for being overweight or not up to scratch? Overweight, yes. There are some players who have contract stipulations about weight. I know Donald Penn was one of those that got very well publicized when he was here. I don't know that DaQuan is in that particular situation, but just like there are performance qualifiers in contracts, sometimes there are also health qualifiers in those contracts. So, like I said, whether that applies to DaQuan or not, I don't know. But the thing that's frustrating, when, you know, like Shiano, don't like Shiano, that's not the point. The interesting piece for his original training camp were the, what was it, 16-110s or whatever it was, which was a college conditioning drill. He told the players in advance that that's what was going to happen. So if you know in advance, you've got to be able to, you've got to be prepared to do it. This is no different. So I know this is going to be one of the things, and I'm sure that Mark will have more detail about that when he calls in. Tonight. So Leadership South, in an attempt to be coy, says, is Bowers looking old school? I don't know. I haven't seen him. I'm not sure if he is as girthy as I am. He is certainly taller than I am. I don't know if that helps or not. So he's ignoring me. Bucks Princess. way. Fish, do it all yourself. Anyway, okay, so that is the preamble. We could probably talk more about the quarterback situation as well, but since Mark Cook is supposed to be calling in, I'll let Spent harass him online and get him to get off his ath and call in so that we can stay on schedule. I don't want to start a quarterback discussion just yet. And I just realized the other day, and it's funny, Gore, because you were talking with him about this before. My good friend who I work with now, who played in the league before, we've had him on the show before, Ronnie Gent, played tight end for a number of teams in the league, actually played with Josh McCown. And I didn't think a thing about that, but I could actually have him on probably next week to discuss what it was like to play with him. Now, he played with him in the UFL when Josh was still doing the journeyman thing and kind of coming through the league the way he does. This is one of those discussions that happens regularly, which is people think that journeyman can't get the job done. Here is Mark Cook eventually. Here we go. Mr. Cook, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Let me give you a little bit more audio level so the people can hear you well.
Testing.
You should be good, my friend. You should be good. Welcome to the show. You guys all know Mark Cook of PewterReport.com fame, and he is here tonight to talk about a couple of exciting announcements. I will set them up, and then I will let him knock them down. And one of the other things we're going to do after the announcements, we're going to talk about his latest article on the bubble players. But first and foremost, we've talked a little bit about a podcast between What the Buck and PewterReport.com. Mark, can you talk a little bit about what the idea was there? We had a really high-level meeting, a super double-top-secret meeting. There was a lot of security involved. Can you tell the folks kind of the excitement that we've got coming out about that?
Yep, we've teamed up with you guys. Peter Report and What the Buck will now have an official monthly podcast, hour-long podcast, and we're working on being able to deliver this live on location at some different spots. Still working on those. We'll have an announcement of that hopefully in the near future. But it's going to be every month, either Scott or myself, maybe both of us from time to time. But we're looking forward to working with you guys. You guys do such a great job with this podcast. This is something that our Pewter Report readers have been asking about for a long time. Time constraints, the knowledge of how to do it, all of those things is certainly your expertise, and obviously we've, you know, thought a lot about what you've done over the years with your podcasts and your rabid group of followers and fans and readers and listeners. So to me, it just made perfect sense for us to team up together and do this throughout the season. We're gonna have one in August, a training camp edition, then we'll have one. We haven't exactly even just set the exact date yet, but we're working on a calendar, but we will have an official hour-long monthly podcast, and something we'll probably do too, from time to time, you know, during the middle of the months in between the podcast. Scott and I will join you on some of your regular podcasts too, to just kind of fill people in on what's going on behind the scenes at One Buccaneer Place. So that's something that we're super, super excited about doing and revealing tonight on your show.
Well, and we're excited too. It's been hard not to talk about it. As a Bucks fan for my whole life, I've grown up as long as I could, you know, follow the articles and stuff. And when Pewter Report came into existence as a print magazine, you know, Pewter Report was the sort of quintessential source for Buccaneers information. So this is a great opportunity, and it's really I'm privileged to be considered to do this. I'm looking forward to the platform. And what we've learned is that the rabid group that you're talking about love to get together, and
right.
And so this is going to be something that's not just a podcast for our people who are not here, but it's going to be another opportunity for us to get together at one of a number of locations. We are going to vary the locations so that it's not always over one side of the bridge or the other. We're going to move around a little bit so that our folks that are over in Polk County get a chance to do it. Our folks in Orlando are going to get a chance to do it. And I think there's going to be a great opportunity for interaction of our fan bases, which are a little bit separated in some ways, which there's no reason for.
Yeah.
We had a question from one of the people in the chat room. Will there be no censorship? Because I know that is one of our hallmarks. You guys should realize that we also did a terrestrial broadcast, Two Hand Touch. I am more than capable of talking without swearing. And so we will probably try and maintain that the same way we do at every live event. We don't do the same thing at a live event that we do on a podcast. So
We keep it. It'll be PG-13. We'll have a few things for parents to raise their eyebrows at and cover their kids' ears occasionally. But for the most part, it'll be good for anyone 13 and older anyway.
Absolutely. It was funny when we talked about this, and Scott Reynolds was with us, and you guys know Scott as well. And I said, well, you know, we'll definitely, you know, FCC this properly, et cetera. So he goes, hey, listen, part of the hallmark of What the Buck is you guys have a good time. We don't want to lose that spirit. So, and that's really what we're going to do. So the moral to the story is it's a collaboration between two groups that I think are like-minded. Once a month, we're going to start the official first show in August. When we get the date, we'll let you guys know. We'll let you guys know the location. It'll be another opportunity for you to work with the great guys at Pewter Report and for our group at What the Buck to kind of come together and talk Bucks football.
Yeah, and you know, and again, one of the reasons too that we decided to do it with you guys is we just have a lot of respect for your organization. Obviously, there's passionate fans with your crew, but they're very civic minded too. And you know, I can't stress that enough. That's something that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle in what we do. And at times we're understaffed and undermanned. Although I will agree with Greg Schiano on one thing: we all have 1,440 minutes in a day. It's all about how we use them. And you guys have been able to prioritize and do things in the community. And that's something we really, really respect, Scott and I, and our entire crew, with what you guys do. So to me, you know, if we're going to team up with somebody, it's somebody who not only has a great, passionate base of fans, Buccaneer fans, but, you know, also want to give back and help out in the community. And I've mentioned it before, but, you know, the job you guys do, Spent and the rest of your crew with the different things, working with the spring and the food drives and the What the Buck tailgate parties that, you know, you guys use to raise money and awareness and products, whatever it may be. You know, we want to be able to promote that too on our website, and we'll definitely do our part on that also.
Well, I am excited about this, and hopefully you guys are as well. This is something we've been talking about for a while. We will get all these details out. We'll probably come up with some kind of cool graphics as well. And I know that Eric is going to help us out. Kurt, we may have some help on the audio side. Eric Delarada from Pewter Report has some audio skills, so we may be able to cut up some of these interviews the way you did a great job of for our draft party. So I think it'll be another way for us to elevate this podcast and to elevate our position. Now, speaking of getting together and fun events, I also want a chance for you to tell people about the Keelan Curley event. And I don't know if you know this, but do you know how many spots are left? Because I know it's an RSVP-only event.
Right. You know, I checked with Kim, our operations manager, yesterday, and I think we were about half full. I don't have the exact number, but she told me that we have room for other people. We overbooked just a little bit, too, because obviously when you're talking about a month or two in advance, people have the best intentions, and life gets in the way of attending. So, you know, we overbook a little bit too, but if people are interested in attending our pre-training camp get together, we're going to be doing that on July 19th out at Keelan Curley Winery, which is everybody. I've had a few people, Skip Brown, as a matter of fact, complain that it's all the way in Plant City. It's not technically in Plant City. Maybe that's the zip code, but it's actually very easy to get to if you're from, you know, if you can make it to the Hard Rock, drive 10 more miles east, and you'll be at Keelan Curley. It's not a lot farther from there, from I-75 and I-4, and it's just off the interstate at the Branch Forbes exit. So it's really before you get to Plant City, more in the Sonoda Sassa, maybe Sefner, Mango-type area. But we're going to be doing that. We've got a special guest, Tim Wright, Buccaneer tight end, and overall great guy, is going to be our guest. He's going to be there. He's going to take pictures, sign autographs, obviously free of charge. He's going to hold a Q&A, so if you've got the readers and your listeners and people have questions, you know, they can show up, they can talk to Tim directly, and like I said, he's going to pose for pictures, you know, sign autographs. We've also got some autographed merchandise that we'll be giving away as far as some door prizes go. I know for a fact I've got a couple Gerald McCoy autograph 8x10s, Levante David and Mason Foster, I believe, and a few other things that we'll be giving away at that event. So we want people to go to Pewter Report. We've got a story up. They'll have to scroll back a few stories to get to it, or they can go to pewterreport.com and get all the details as far as the time. It's 4 to 6. And children are welcome. I mean, it's an adult environment because it is a winery, and it's a wine tasting tour that you'll be able to take too. Normally $10, but for our Pewter Report readers and for What the Buck listeners, people who sign up in RSVP, it's only $5. So it's a great thing to do with your spouse. I mean, get a babysitter if you can. But if you've got, you know, middle-aged kids or something like that and they'd like to come along, they can do that. Also, there'll be a live band performing later that evening, and I think they're going to waive or cut that cover charge in half a little bit too. They've got their own brewery on site, the two Henry's micro brew. I'm not real familiar with these specialty beers as you are, but Derek, but it's, you know, those will be available. I think it's like $5 pints. I don't know how much a pint is. I think that's a pretty good-sized glass. But anyway, that'll be available, too.
You don't know what a pint is. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. I just drink mine straight out of a bottle, you know, a really tall fist of vodka or something. I don't screw around with the beer, but anyway, no, we'll have some different things and some different specials. There'll be some food specials and things available too. There's a really good barbecue place that takes care of Keel and Curly, and we're really excited about doing that. Keel and Curly's been a sponsor of Pewter Report for a little over a year now, and it's really a unique thing. They have a winery there. They also have a blueberry festival every spring. It just happened a few weeks ago, which is really a neat thing. And really, they've got some terrific wine. They've branched off into some of the supermarkets and things. I believe you can find the wine locally at Publix. They make a strawberry wine, a blueberry wine, a key lime wine. And I've got several bottles here, and I'm not sure if we're going to be giving away bottles of that. I know we have at different events in the past, but we may be able to. But it's an opportunity if you're a wine connoisseur to check out some of their great products and things that they do.
Awesome.
That's going to be July 19th, and again, go to pewterreport.com. Scroll back a few stories. You'll see the announcement that we have, and it'll have all the details of RSVPing for that. But I would certainly tell people to try and do that in the next day or two. Because there is going to be a limit. I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but at some point we'll have to cap it because we just don't want to overwhelm them at the same time. But
yep.
We're looking forward to doing that and having Tim ride out again. Great guy, and he really enjoys, and he's excited about it. He loves to get out and mingle with the fans, so it'll be a good event.
Well, and that's the moral of the story for you folks in the chat room that are asking about football. That's what this is about. This is a chance for us to get together and talk football face-to-face. And I know some of you who are not local are a little salty about that, but the moral to that story is move the fuck to Tampa.
Yeah, and we've got some people, and it's terrible. I think it's Adam maybe who's actually driving up from Boca.
Yep.
He's an avid Pewter Report guy and What the Buck guy. He's going to be coming up from Boca Raton. Him and his wife, I believe they're going to stay overnight, and they're going to enjoy the event. So, you know, make it a weekend event. You know, there's some decent priced, decent hotels in the area, and like I said, the Hard Rock's just down the street. So. Go drink all you want, hang out with Tim Wright, and then go gamble a little bit.
Now, speaking of drinking all you want and hanging out with Tim Wright, and not at all speaking of either of those things, but I'm not good at transitions, your last article, The Bubble Heading Into Training Camp. Talk to me about what this article is about and who of these five, and I want to tell people, if you haven't read the article, even though I told you to start reading this like an hour ago, we're talking about Daquan Bowers, Luke Stocker, Leonard Johnson, Mike James. I thought there was another one.
I did four. I actually had Michael Kanan in there
for
the fifth at one point because, again, at 3.25 or whatever he's making, just over three in his production last year, I kind of felt that he might be on some shaky ground. But as I look over the roster, he's the only punter heading into training camp, and I'm sure they'll bring in somebody else, but he seems to be pretty entrenched there. Another guy that you could take a look at potentially that may be on the bubble, and there are plenty of other bubble players. I'm just trying to think of more high-profile guys. But even a guy like Keith Tandy, who had some production last year with three interceptions, they brought in Major Wright from Chicago. And they got McDougal from last year and of course, Barron and Golson and a couple other younger players. You know, he's a guy that I think is going to have to fight really hard and contribute on special teams to make this football team. But those are the four primary guys that I thought – really need to have a really good camp and figure out a way to stand out if they want to make this roster. And as I kind of sum the story up with, Derek, it's a good problem to have because, let's face it, you know, two, three, 4 years ago, I don't know that any of these four players are bubble players. You know, they're probably locks to make the roster, but, you know, they did bring in some talent via free agency in the draft, and it's a new staff. So, again, it's kind of a good problem to have when you've got a number of players who are contributors, who were contributors last year, who very well, if they do end up getting cut, end up signing, contributing somewhere else. I mean, that, to me, is a sign of a football team on the rise when you've got guys that you're going to cut that aren't going to be, you know, stocking shelves at Costco the next week when they're cut. They're actually going to be playing football in another uniform. And I think all four of these guys certainly, you know, will get signed and get a look with a different team if they do end up being cut. Now, again, I'm not advocating they get cut. I'm not saying that they should be cut. I'm just saying these are four guys.
There goes the dance.
Do what?
There goes the dance.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, I say this as a disclaimer because as we all know what happened last Memorial Day when I wrote an article called Five Players Who Need a Great Season to Be Back This Year, You know, Donald Penn got a little fired up at me. So anyway, I say it as Ringo Starr says, with peace and love.
Nicely done. So if you haven't read that article, read that article. I've got some other guests backed up on you tonight, Mark, so I don't want to ramble too much. Plus, I know you've got work to do. We'll get you back on as soon as possible and talk about some other topics. But we're going to continue babbling about this. You're welcome to join in the chat room if you have time. But I appreciate you coming on and talking about the announcements. We're going to continue to pimp out the event. And as soon as we have more information about the podcast, we'll let people know. But thank you very much, Mark, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, man. You guys do a great job. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to being a partner with What the Buck and all of your great followers.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right, man.
Mark Cook of PewReport.com. And I know you guys are asking about football, and we're going to talk more about football, but some of this offseason is really about the logistics that go into this. Now, we've got Jace calling in, and we can certainly talk when Jace calls in, and then when Fish calls in later from Bucks Brief, we're going to talk about some of the things that are in the chat room right now. Some of you guys who are down on Luke Stocker, we'll talk about why Luke Stocker is still on the roster and whether it does, in fact, have anything to do with naked pictures of someone up high. We can also talk about Daquan Bowers. The other people on that list, Mike James is probably the most interesting, in my opinion. Leonard Johnson is going to fall into a melee there with these defensive backs, and we're going to have to see who actually separates themselves. The challenge for Stocker, when you look at the tight end stack, is he was really the only all-around tight end. The problem is, you can't make the club in the tub, allegedly. So if you can't play, I don't care if you look the part, and when you're healthy, can play the part, if you are never healthy. And that's the challenge. And even in Mark's article, he talks about when Stocker is healthy, he definitely looks the part. Sadly, he is not. And I think this is his last chance to actually make that happen. So we've got Jace calling in now. When he calls in, we're going to talk more about that. Cinnamon Toast, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about Leonard? Here we go. We got Jason Denman here. Let me get this set up. You guys are going to like this, I think, if it works the way it's supposed to. Jason, hold on a second. Let me get you up and running. Going to bring in this one. And that. And that. All right, now we actually have video and video, and I'm going to go over to the chat room and make sure that this shit's all working. I went maximize on you, which means I can't see anything that I need to see, so now I can fix that. This is how we get shit done here. So welcome to the podcast. Jace, how are you doing?
Good. How about yourself, Derek?
I'm doing quite well. I'm going to crank your volume up a little bit. But what I wanted to do was talk a little bit. For those of you, introduce yourself to the crowd here. Let them know who you are. Let them know about your podcast. And then let's start talking football so these guys don't keep bitching at me.
All right. My name is Jace Denman. I am JJ Dakota on Twitter. And I also have another handle on Twitter. It's GJ Podbash. My neighbor and good friend Gene and I started a podcast back in December, and we just simply call it Gene and Jace's Pod Bash. And we're based out of Fargo, Moorhead, all the way up here, Fargo, North Dakota, Moorhead, Minnesota.
Now, Bucks fan in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yep.
Okay, why? How? How'd this happen?
That's kind of an odd story. Technically, I've never been to Tampa, but Tampa was always one of those teams that when they would come up and play the Vikings up here, I kind of felt bad for them because they had these ugly creamsicle uniforms and they were terrible. But after honestly moving to Arizona, I hooked up with a roommate that actually went to college down in Tampa at the University of South Florida. So once I started basically living with him and just the Bucks got the new uniforms, I started following them, and it just snowballed, to be honest. And I've been a diehard Bucks fan basically right around the time they switched uniforms. So I was there on board for the Super Bowl run, and been there ever since. Good times and bad times.
Well, that being said, you follow the Bucks avidly, which is great. When I asked you to come on the show tonight, you're like, well, why the hell would I come? Why do they want to listen to me? I'm just another fan. But as another fan, I want to ask you the question that, you know, we have open phone lines probably 50% of the time on this show, and mm-hmm. very rarely do people call. Leadership South says it's because I'm mean and scary, which is certainly possible. But the tight end spot, Luke Stocker. What's your take on Luke Stocker? And then I'll give you my take, because in the chat room there's a healthy discussion that he is an urban legend.
Right. Luke Stocker, they brought him in. It seemed as though he had all the physical tools to be able to be an effective tight end in the league. He could catch the ball some. He could block some. But as far as I know as a fan, he's had too many injuries. He doesn't get on the field enough, and he just hasn't produced when he's been on the field. So you get a pick like Austin Safarian Jenkins to come in, who supposedly can catch, can block, is fast. You know, you should be set with him and some of the other guys they have there on the roster.
Well, and that's the ticket, right? Is ASJ going to be able to block? And his body type doesn't say that he can. I want to see what that looks like. Tim Wright, that's not the role that he played, right? And I find it very interesting, especially with what's going on with Jimmy Graham and with the appeal he's made that he wants to be paid like a wide receiver because of the number of snaps he takes at wide receiver. I think there's some interesting discussion there. I don't think it pertains to us because Tim Wright's not going to be Graham. Right. But what will this offense need? Does it need a tight end who puts his hand in the dirt, is on the end of the line, and can block? Or can we tip our hand a little bit and allow our tight end to be more of a split end? Because the discussion that Mark Cook had in his article was the place that Luke Stocker may be able to stick in is at that H-back role because we don't have much in the way of fullbacks on this roster.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Personally, I would like to see basically someone that, in theory, could do both, that they could put their hand in the dirt and go out and block, because having that extra guy at the line of scrimmage to be able to block a linebacker or get downfield and block a safety would be great. But with today's day and age in the NFL, you want a tight end that can actually split out wide, cause some mismatches, and be able to catch the ball. You can't have guys that do just one thing or the other. If you're a receiving tight end, you got to be able to block a little bit. If you're a blocking tight end, you got to be able to catch the ball a little bit. So if you can get the best of both worlds and be able to do both, it's going to just expand that offense immensely, especially if you get a guy who's got some speed and can get down the field, down the middle of the field.
Well, the interesting thing about the tight end discussion, and you guys all know I'm a fan of tight ends, and by the way, speaking of tight ends, and this is a bit of
a
horrible transition. So you guys know our spokes fighter, Cheyenne Velismus. Sadly, our logo is not across her backside anymore because we got outbid by a much better sponsor who actually pays a lot more money. But she went out there, lost a tough decision in Vegas. We love her still. We still support the hell out of her. We're still on her team, and we're still on her shorts, and we're still in her corner. She is fighting bacterial pneumonia. So for the religious members of the group out there, do send some prayers away. She's been in the hospital, I believe, now for 10 days. I heard from Tony, her boyfriend and coach, that she's getting better, but thoughts out to Cheyenne Velismus. Now back to the tight end discussion. The discussion about blocking is a fun one because typically if you see a runner crack off a run of 20 yards or more, it's because someone downfield is blocking, whether it's a receiver, a tight end, or whoever. Downfield blocking is very different than line of scrimmage blocking. And Leadership South, who, with all my jokes of Leadership South, he is a really fucking smart guy when it comes to football. This guy has coached far more than I have, probably forgotten more about the game than I know. He's like, if I could get away with putting my tight end 8 yards out, I would. What that tells me is my five are good enough. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think any Bucs fan worth their salt knows we don't know what our five are. Right.
No.
We don't know what they can do. And it
we're lucky if we know which, you know, if we got the three right now that we think that we have at the two tackle spots in the center position.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. We don't even know what the hell blocking scheme is going to be implemented, let alone whether they're going to be able to execute said blocking scheme. So Leadership South is absolutely completely correct. The other thing he points out in the chat room, and we talked about this a lot, when you face a defense that runs predominantly a 3-4, when you can spread your skills out, you make linebackers declare if you go against a D4 or a 3-4. If you don't, if everyone's clumped in, if you're running tight formations, you have no idea where those extra rushers are coming from. And we've talked about on the show probably countless times that you've got to be able to, when you face a defense like that, Pittsburgh was notorious for it back in the day, Baltimore was notorious for it back in the day, if they're going to send guys from all odd angles, you have got to force them to declare what their coverage is. That lets your quarterback make the correct checks and really changes your offense. Now, all of this discussion is not really rooted around Luke Stocker. Luke Stocker is just one of a number of players who has to either put up or shut up. Probably a nice guy, but like everyone has said, nice guys who can't play shouldn't be on the team.
Exactly. So. I mean, that's the biggest thing. We got to have guys that are actually capable of doing the job make the roster. We can't have just a bunch of nice guys on there because, he seemed like a nice guy, as they said in Tommy Boy. We have to get guys out there who can knock people on their butt and actually go out there and make the plays. So whether or not they're nice, I mean, you don't want guys getting in trouble off the field, but, you know, basically you got to put the best players out there in order for the team to succeed now and in the future.
Absolutely. Now, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I want you to be able to tell people more about your podcast so they can go check this out. For you guys who do listen to the podcast, I know our live people get a different experience in the chat room, and we're really glad you're here because it makes it very interesting. The people that listen to our podcast, this is a chance for you to add another podcast to your subscription list. Take a listen. As I mentioned in the intro, not all podcasts are for all people. So let people know how they can get your RSS, where they can find you, and then we'll go from there. And by the way, someone in the chat room, actually Bucks Princess in the chat room, said that the Tommy Boy reference was almost better than a Seinfeld reference.
Yay me. We are basically our podcast is hosted on a website called podcastgarden.com. And so you can find us there. You can either download the podcast episodes from there or listen directly on their site. Our RSS feed, there's a link. I don't know if it shows it on their website for people that come in there, but you can find us on iTunes, on Blueberry, on TuneIn, on Stitcher. Basically, most of the apps, you know, that are out there, we're on there. I haven't found a way to get on iHeartRadio yet, but there's a lot of these basically just directories of podcasts, and you can go out there and you can get on those just simply by contacting them, filling out a form or whatever. So we're on pretty much all the major ones right now. So like I said, TuneIn, that their webpage and their app, the Stitcher webpage and their app. We've also got it listed on Blueberry, and of course, the most popular one we're on listed on iTunes.
Well, thank you very much. And we have one question now. Do you do your show live as well, or do you just podcast and then post?
Nobody can listen to it live.
Okay.
But we just basically, you know, take 5 to 20 minutes and decide what we're going to do, and then boom, we're off and running. It's kind of a, as my buddy likes to say, it's a stream of consciousness. We just start talking. It kind of evolved from us talking sports in the driveway next door to each other, and we just decided to record it and put it out there for people to listen to.
Well, I think you're doing a good job. I listened to some of the episodes. I think people should tune in as well. There's a lot of not Buck content out there, but it's some good Buck content. And if you get some of our Bucks people coming across, they're probably going to bitch at you and say more Buck content.
Hey, I try and put as much Buck content on there. Even though we're up here in the Midwest and we're up by, you know, the closest big city is the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So we talk, you know, a lot of Timberwolves, Vikings, and try and do that. But
yeah, damn all that.
Yeah, basically, whenever we start talking Vikings, boom, I bring up the Buccaneers. So if there's a mention of the Vikings, boom, there's going to be a mention of the Buccaneers. I can't go without an episode without mentioning them, at least to some extent.
I think anytime you mention the Vikings, you should also mention real football. So I think it's a good plan. Jace, thank you very much. Continue following. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to switch over, and we're going to give Bucks Brief a chance to call in. Fish is going to call in. We're going to talk about his podcast, and we're going to switch over to defense when we talk with him so we can talk football.
Peace. All right.
Thanks a lot, brother. Take care.
Bye.
Wow, that was loud as shit, that transition. And we will switch back over to here. And I don't have any other pictures, so we will go back to just my ugly mug for you guys on the Manycam feed. But that was my man Jace from GJ Podcast, or Podbash, rather. And again, that's another great, great podcast that's out there. Take a listen, see if you like it. Give him some feedback. I think that as fans, you can encourage these people to do more work and help. If not everyone has time to do this, or the passion or the desire or the knowledge or any of those sorts of things. So when you can get that sort of stuff, when I was a fan before this podcast, I certainly would have loved to have gotten hold of that stuff. Now, when it comes to defense, he covers wildlife too. God damn it, CJ. You always can pull that shit off, can't you? When it comes to defense, the Daquan Bowers is a heated discussion. We started talking about that a little bit before Mark called in, and we talked some more when he was here. I think a lot of Bucks fans are very rooted in the defensive side of the ball because of where the Bucks really kind of got their resurgence. And even before their resurgence, the heart of this franchise is really on defense. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to score, because you certainly need to score points to win, and they have assembled some amazing skill positions. So as we transition through the discussion and wait for Fish to figure out how to use Skype on his iPad, Dave Pair, who wore number what? What was Dave Pair's jersey number? Anyone? Anyone? I'm going to give the chat room some time. Don't know. Bucks Princess says, give me more fluff between fan interference and Booger when Fish doesn't have a new episode on. Nice. That'd be great. The discussion here before, there we go. There's Fish right there. Loud as shit. Hey, is this Fish?
It's Fish.
Oh my good God. You are loud as hell, brother. I'm going to turn you down a little bit. Hold on.
I got to apologize ahead of time, cause I'm not in my normal studio setup. I'm actually, somewhere far away. So, I get to deal with my bad technical issues tonight.
An undisclosed location, and it was 76, Kurt. Thank you very much. Leadership South, you were wrong. Dave Pair was number 76. I wear number 76, not at all because of Dave Pair. So for those of you who have heard me talk about Bucks Brief for the last, I guess probably 3 weeks has been about as long as I've been talking about you guys, I want you to introduce yourself, tell people a little bit about what you do, why you do it, how many episodes you've had, and then I want us to talk about Mike James versus Bobby Rainey and the running back situation in the Buccaneers.
Well, that's all right. You put me on the spot there. I appreciate that.
Hey, listen, you're a pro, man. Stop that bullshit.
I love that. So this is we've got a podcast called The Bucks Brief, and I'm the host on that. And I go by Fish. That's kind of my podcast personality. We started this back in February. It's myself and my co-host is Thomas from Lutz, and he's actually in the chat room right now. He's at TC Pitman, PIP man. He's in the chat room that you all see. So we started this back in February, late February. We've got 11 episodes out there for you guys to listen to. And we're selling this from the fan perspective. I mean, we're fans. We've been fans of the Buccaneers for a long time. And it's just an opportunity for us to get on and really, and I can curse on here, shoot the shit about the Buccaneers.
You can curse on your show, dude, unless your sponsor prohibits you from doing it.
I can, but I'm not registered as
explicit.
Explicit on iTunes.
So you big pussy.
Keeping it PG for now. But like you said, I'm so happy to be a part of the Bucs ecosystem, like you mentioned it. I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, and I listen to Howard Stern in the mornings and then started tuning into some Tampa sports radio in the mornings. And you get on, you call in, you get like 30 seconds to talk, and then you listen for the next two to three hours, and you're like, well, shit, I want to call in again because I have more to add to that. So I kind of was taking that and like, where's a format that I can go on and speak my opinion and really kind of interact with Buccaneers fans from across the nation? We've got folks that listen to our podcast in Scotland and Germany. Bucs Princess is out in New Mexico. Jace listens to our podcast. You just had him on in North Dakota. So we try to build this Bucs fan community because we understand that we're all not local. I'm in Lakeland. Thomas is in Lutz. I know you're Valrico, right?
Yep.
So we kind of get this all this information brought to us, and we've got radio stations, and we've got these podcasts, and we've kind of got this local community, but we're really trying to encourage those folks who are we're putting this stuff out there so folks from across the nation can tune in and feel like they're more of a part of the Buccaneer community, and that's really what we're all about, is to try and just gather all the Bucs fans around, have a good time. We try to be very interactive with folks on Twitter, on our Facebook page. We have clips on of our folks that send us content. So that's really what we're all about. Just having a good time, really not very serious about what we talk about and really break down the Buccaneers from a fan perspective.
Well, now I want to stop you there for a second, because while that's true, and certainly I'm a big fan of that catchphrase, right, from a fan's perspective, because I love it. Right. It's what we live for too. One of the things that raised my eyebrow, as Sam Horn would say, a very strong speaker out of Hawaii, was your breakdown of receivers, talking about how they come in and out of their breaks. You started talking about receiving. Do you have a background in playing and coaching, any of that sort of stuff, or are you just a self-taught man?
No, I played high school football, and I didn't have the greatest coaching, so I'm not gonna toot my horn that I was great. We ran a wishbone in high school, and I think we had 7 wide receiver spots for one wide receiver position. So I'm really a fan of the game, and you know, and from a breakdown of film standpoint, like I really don't pride myself on that, but you know, I try to keep myself knowledgeable in the area of wide receiver because that's what I played. And what you're referencing is really, I had a harsh critique of Mike Evans' game film from college, and I know that sparked some controversy, and we had a lot of some hate spewed our way for the podcast. Of really, you know, we're not here to kiss everyone's ass who's a Buccaneer player. We're trying to give people honest feedback. So what I broke down on Mike Williams' film, looking at other people's analysis, looking at some, I watch a lot of SEC football, so that's really what I broke down. I really try to compare him to Odell Beckham because I was thinking we were going wide receiver and trying to compare the two, and I just saw a lot of holes in Mike Evans' game, and that's, you know, what you just referenced, and I mentioned that when I tuned into your podcast, is really the struggles that he has in getting out of his break and making cuts, and how I think that might be a little bit of a difficult transition for him into the NFL.
And what's interesting is, you know, we used to have Steve White on all the time, and now he's an official Buccaneer intern, so he can't do that. So we miss his analysis, and we talked a little bit at the draft day show about Mike Evans. He watched a ludicrous amount of Mike Evans tape and is a huge fan of what he does. That said, he never really refuted, other than the point that I didn't see a lot of high pointing the ball in the tape I watched, but I didn't watch as much tape as he did, I'll admit that. But coming in and out of the breaks was one of the concerns because he simply didn't have to do it. It's a common problem for receivers that are top tier, upper echelon receivers at the collegiate level because they are men among boys. They're going to get open. That's not the fucking point, right? Can a quarterback get them the ball? Now, when you get to the NFL and all of a sudden you're standing across someone who's just as tall, just as strong, just as fast, and his intent is to stop you from getting 5 yards across the line of scrimmage, right? The game changes. You've got to be able to get separation in your breaks. So that's why I was very interested in that. Now, I want to transition off receiver, even though you didn't play running back. I don't want to take you out of your comfort zone. But the discussion right now about James versus Rainey is healthy. There's also a sort of a tangential discussion about Doug Martin and his carries and those sorts of things. I'm not quite sure why people are so caught up on that. But I do want to get your perspective on Mike James versus Rainey. And let's assume one thing. Let's assume James is healthy. The ankle is not an issue.
Right, exactly. And it was interesting. I was listening to what Mark was saying before, and I didn't get a chance to read his article yet about having James on the bubble. But I look at – we know that Doug's our starter. I mean, that's – and we can argue about the carries and who's going to be split. We drafted a running back in the third round in Sims, and everyone kind of was surprised by that because it looked like we were going to go guard or other positions, and we took Charles Sims because, in my opinion, he adds a different dimension to what we didn't really have right now in our running back core – and kind of fits the mold of what I think, we haven't seen it yet, but what I think Jeff Tedford wants to do with this offense. But when I look at and I break down the running backs, and I got to add Jeff Dempsey in that mix as well. So I look at the fact that we've got five running backs, and I know there's another one that was brought in that was in Tedford's system, and I can't think of his name right now, but I think he's just a camp body. So my thinking is, if you're a third running back, if you're a fourth running back, what's going to set you apart and what's going to put you on the roster is the fact that you've got to contribute on special teams, and you've got to fit what the offensive coordinator wants to do. Now, we didn't get to see a lot of James last year, but what we saw of him, he looked very good. But what I do remember him from a college standpoint is he was a great receiver out of the backfield. And if I look at Bobby Rainey and what I've seen in his short career that he's had, he's not known as much for his receiving out of the backfield. So, again, not a special teams player. I'm not known as really a receiver out of the backfield. So in my opinion, I really think that sets Mike James apart from Bobby Rainey and gives him the leg up on making the roster.
You know, it's interesting. In Mark's article, one of the things he gives Rainey the nod on is his breakaway speed because of the two long runs he had. The one I remember vividly, I think it was about an 80-yard run, first carry of the game or whatever it was. It was a great run. And all of a sudden people knew he was a Hilltopper. But the comment he made, and we've made this before, but I don't know that it was ever really this true in recent years. These are good problems to have. When the cuts hurt, it means that you have a significant stack of depth, right? And I don't know that that's true. We have to see what these guys do. We're looking at them on paper. That's like everyone saying, oh, the Bucks are going to be 9-7, the Bucks are going to be 7-9. Fuck all of you guys. You have no idea what the Bucks are going to be. You're just guessing at numbers that add up to 16. I want to see someone say, oh, they're going to be 7-7-2. Okay, then I think you've got some balls if you're going to make a call like that. But short of that, until you see these guys get out there and start hitting people, we have no idea what this team is capable of. But I do know one thing. When we get down from the 88 or 90 that we're at now to 53/47, there's going to be some quality football players going to play somewhere else.
There is, absolutely. And you mentioned, we haven't seen a lot of these guys. We saw, a year and a half of Doug Martin. We haven't seen Charles Sims. We really saw a limited Mike James, and we didn't see much of Bobby Rainey. So we don't really know. You're exactly 100% correct. We're making assumptions based on what we've seen so far, but it's not like they have these long NFL resumes that we can make a sound decision based off of. We're really evaluating them based on their college career and the short time that they've been in the NFL.
And we're evaluating in the absence of their opposition, right? That's the other thing that I always talk about. And you've got to put your nuts on the line at some point and say, well, based on this and, you know, assuming that the other teams are playing at a decent level, you know, you're not going to face Carolina with insert not Cam Newton at quarterback, right? Then you're going to make some prognostications. But that's why I usually wait till after the third game to really weigh in on a significant thing. Kurt McDonald in the chat room is bringing up a point that I think is really, really important. You've got to see how some of these puzzle pieces that they've gone out and got fit into whatever the hell this offensive scheme is that we're going to run, right? And there were some quotes from Josh McCown the other day saying, when you look at the plays that are here, you're like, wow, I haven't run that before, or I haven't even seen that in a while. It sounds like there are going to be some really interesting wrinkles to this offense that we're going to get a chance to see. I don't know how much of it we'll get a chance to see at training camp in the 11-on-11s, but I definitely know that for the first time in a long time, I'm looking very forward to preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really kind of paid attention to what Lovie said in the offseason and what Jeff Tedford, the limited time that we've seen him. I've heard them mention a few times Jeff Dempsey by name. So that's why I kind of consider him in this depth competition at the running back spot, because when you just mentioned Mark Cook said Bobby Rainey's got this breakaway speed, well, Jeff Dempsey's got USA gold medal track speed that is really resonated on the football field if he can stay healthy. So I think it might bring that added dimension of things that we have not seen before. And maybe, you know, those are some of the things that Josh McCown was relating to. I really am excited, and I know it's early and it's not training camp yet, but I do agree with what you said, Derek. The fact that it's nice that we have this problem that it looks like we've got some depth. And even if it's at this specific position, the fact that, yes, we're going to have to cut some guys, make some tough decisions, but these guys are going to get the opportunity to go contribute to other teams in the NFL.
Well, and there's some discussion of Jeff Demps in the chat room as well. Now, Jeff Demps has always been an interesting possibility. He's one of those things that looks great on paper. I have become very jaded because when he gets hit, he seems to fall apart. One could argue that Luke Stocker falls apart without getting hit, which makes him even worse. So if I'm going to give Luke Stocker any sort of room, I should give Jeff Demps some. Normally when we do the roster predictions, you go, okay, well, you know, typically we keep 5 to 6, you know, 5 to 7 wide receivers if we've got good receivers. How many fullbacks are we going to take? Because that gives us an extra skill position. We want to keep them. How much depth on the offensive line, et cetera. You start looking at these guys like Demps and Sims, you go, well, where the fuck do you even put them? And you end up with a roster like you see sometimes on the Buccaneers website where it's like wide receiver / tailback / punt returner / janitor. And you're right. Like, well, shit, what role do you play? And fantasy football players hate this, of course, because they have no idea what to actually draft them as. But I think that Jeff Demps and Sims are an interesting comparison. When you said slot, it's going to be intriguing to see how they use them. Drew Hamilton says 0 fullbacks. I don't know that that's really out of the question, to be honest. And I think that that's where a big, heavy tight end may be able to find a spot.
I agree with Drew's comment. I see that we've got, I think, 2 fullbacks right now on the roster. I don't know if it's Lonnie Pryor, and then I know we got the kid from Texas A&M as well.
Yep.
I could see that position going away in this offense. And I'm looking in the chat room right now. I see the fact of, you know, mentioning Demps as a potential returner. I'm a graduate of University of Florida, so I did watch Demps as a return man in the kick game only. He's never played punt return, and that's the same for Solomon Patton as well. Solomon Patton has been on kick return team, but has never been a punt returner in college. So I think those positions are kind of up for grabs as well. And what I mentioned Mike James earlier and said about what's going to set him apart is the fact that he can be an up block and he can play special teams and contribute. And it's going to take maybe it's what's going to put Demps ahead of a Rainey, Patton ahead if he can make the roster, ahead of, I think, Perron's, I think, on the team based on what we've heard. But that, you know, that's what's really going to take, in my opinion, when you've got these bubble positions, who's going to contribute on special teams? Because in my opinion, our special teams coach is going to fight for these guys and say, yeah, he might not be what you see is going to contribute on offense, but from a special team standpoint, it's going to set him apart. So that's how I'm kind of seeing these guys, these Pattons, these Demps, just reading what's going on in the chat room. I think Paige is out the door. I don't know if that's what you said.
Well, Bucks Princess had talked about Paige. I know we had some friends, some fans in here that were big Paige fans, and he's fast and these sorts of things. But I think that there's too much other fast guys, right? I mean, we've got a bucket of them now. We don't just have, like, one guy who's sort of fast. We've got a bucket of them. And the discussion that Calico Jack brought up under the name Caliente 430 was when you have a guy like Demps, these are guys that in a lower level of football, you can run jet sweeps. You run middle screens or option reads in the middle. And that works. I'm someone who doesn't think jet sweep works particularly well in the NFL because of team speed and the way they split guys. I asked Leadership South the same question. I think we just lost our call. I'm sure he'll call back in. That was a connection issue. I asked Leadership South his opinion on that, and it turns out I was right, which is convenient because that makes me not seem as stupid as I could from time to time. We'll wait for Fish to call back in here and finish up this call. But I think it's a good discussion about the skill positions that aren't really wide receivers. These guys are tweeners that could find their way over to slot because we just don't know what we have there. Now, this is a discussion without any sort of concept, though Fish mentioned Heron. Here we go. Welcome back.
It's horrible hotel internet connection. I apologize for that.
And am I saying your nickname wrong? Am I supposed to say Fish? Princess, every time I say it, she puts like 73 E's in there.
It's Fish.
It's Fish.
You can call me Fish. I've been called a lot worse.
Okay, well then I'll call you Fish. That's fine. I just want to make sure I get it right. I didn't get a phonetic spelling in my prep sheets tonight, so nice.
It's all good.
JJ Dakota gave a Christian Bale reference. But yeah, I think it's an interesting discussion that bears further discussion, and it's something we're going to have to look at training camp. Now, with that training camp comment made, I want to transition into a couple of other things. You guys do your podcast. You're out of Lakeland. Thomas is out of Lutz. You've got another person that joins your podcast as well. I'm sorry. And they're from remote, right?
Yeah, we had a guy who was on early on in our first couple episodes, and he was actually a Buffalo Bills fan. He's moved on to Houston, so he's no longer part of the podcast. So it's really myself and Thomas from Lutz is my co-host. Thomas has received a few promotions. The funny thing with Thomas is I heard him on the radio. I'm like, Thomas, I got this podcast. I like hearing you on the radio. Would you be interested in joining the Bucks Brief? And he did. And he's been very gracious with his time. And I definitely appreciate that. And Thomas is running our Twitter feed right now. He's got those that promotion as well. So
very nice.
It's two of us right now. We've got some great guests on. We've got some very exciting guests, I hope, that are going to be joining us in upcoming episodes. And like I said before, we try to get the fans involved. We've had sound clips. Jace was on the podcast. Adam Ratliff is in the chat room. And other folks as well. Really trying to make it interactive, like I said before, Derek, is really try to bring in everyone from a global standpoint and get them more involved and make them feel more a part of the Buccaneers community.
Well, I know that you have some sort of connection with the Lakeside Village Brass Tap, which I am a big fan of. So anytime that you want to have a beer, I can't remember the name of your assistant general manager, it was a female named Jackie Annie something maybe, I don't remember.
It's Jamie. And she is awesome. So, yeah, I mean, I mentioned the Brass Tap is like, that's like my local watering hole. I'm a big craft beer guy, so I'm there all the time. We're trying to look up potential we've talked to them already about it. We don't record live, but we basically record at night, and then I have it posted like by the morning. Just because we're still virtual, Thomas and I aren't sitting in the same room, so we try to make sure I get the guests on and stuff. I really don't have to do any editing right now because I'm a big equipment guy, and I know you are as well, to have the right sound equipment to make a professional-sounding podcast.
Oh, fuck, I'm a hack.
We're looking at doing some live opportunities from that area, and we're looking at also being at the Keel and Curly event that Mark Hook mentioned before on July 17th. Mark Hook's a good friend of ours as well. He calls me a kiss ass because I'm so overly nice at times to people. But yeah, it's Brass Tap, Lakeside Village in Lakeland, Polk County. Anytime you want to grab a beer, I'm down for that, Derek.
Well, that sounds great, man. Tell people how they can get your podcast. I want to thank you for joining the show. I know they can go to bucksbrief.com. They can probably subscribe in iTunes. Are there any other ways you'd like them to interact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on, like you said, don't pay much attention to the website.
That La Quinta website, the web. Are you there?
I'm here.
You need to upgrade your fucking hotel, brother. Come on now. Let's go.
Are you not here? Can you not hear me?
No, we can hear you.
Okay. It's a Homewood Suites. Come on. so we're Bucks Brief, iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio, and we're on TuneIn as well. We've got a Facebook page that we just created like within the last month or two, but I think it's an actual page, so you have to go like it. So it's facebook.com/BucksBriefPodcast, and everyone knows where we're at on Twitter is @BucksBrief. Hit us up. We love communicating with everyone, and we should have a new episode when I return, hopefully next week.
That sounds great, man. I appreciate taking time out, especially when you're traveling. We'll get together to have that beer, and when we get over to training camp, definitely want to get together with you guys.
Derek, you're awesome. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time, Fish.
All right, buddy.
Bye. All right, so we had two different podcasts tonight. We had Mark Cook as well. We did manage to talk some football, so you bitches would stop crying about it. We talked about the big announcement, meaning the What the Buck Pewter Report joint podcast, which will start in August, which is very exciting. We may come up with some sort of a kitschy name. If you're graphically inclined, we may need some assistance in that as well. You never do know. Bucks, you were fine. Jesus Christ, you were outstanding. Even though you were drunk, it was great. He wasn't really drunk. I'm just kidding. So we will be at the Keel and Curly. If you have not RSVP'd for that and you want to go, you need to do that. Skip, I hear we're going to be able to get you a ride because you're coming in from, I don't know, Texas or something. So we'll make sure that we get you a ride over there. And I know that we've got our get together on the 25th as well that we'll be pimping out. I don't think I missed anything else. So I want to thank everyone in the chat room. We've lost some people here as the show has worn on. We had a nice little group over there, but we still have a nice group here. Adam, Buck for Life, Kurt, Buckshot, Jackie, Patches, Bucks Brief, Drew Hamilton, Spent, JJ Dakota, Skip Brown, Kurt McDonald, Leadership South, Buck Boy, Daniel Buck Fan Shreve, Christine, one of the evil twins, I believe, Bucks Princess, TCPIP Man. I'm assuming you are a network person there, Thomas. Scott, Just Girl, Eliza Dagger, Caliente, 430, Buckman 25, Mark El Capitan, and Gruden's. Is that Gruden's Grimace? Or is that Gruden's Ghost? Which one are you? Gruden's gut. It's a different Gruden. Okay. So at any rate, no, I'm not drunk. I'm drinking coffee. I am on about a 21-hour or 22-hour run here with some real work. So that's why I had to delay last night. I apologize for that last-minute thing. We had to move because I had a large proposal to put together. So I want to remind you guys again, please do interact with our social media pieces. That helps us out tremendously. Facebook.com/WhatTheBuck as well as Twitter @WhatTheBuck. Subscribe to our mailing list. That will help us out as well. And when we work, help us work with you. So when Patch's article gets posted, hopefully tonight, you guys will get a chance to read that. Let him know what you think about it. I really do appreciate what Patch's is doing there. What the Pewter. I like it. I see that that is the common bond there. God damn it. All right, I'm going to have to go get that. Go get it trending. We'll make it happen. Thanks to you guys for joining. I'm going to let you guys listen to our new bumper from Making Merkins one more again. And I will see you guys next week. We'll get this podcast back up as soon as I can on the website. Until then, for everyone in the What the Buck family, I am Old School and I am out of there.
Fournier.
So I give zero.